Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good day to you all, my favorite people. Thanks for joining us again today for this episode of Alive to Love. All lesser values are potential BS. I repeat that with a smile on my face. Have now for a couple of years. That tagline, that name for this broadcast has been a lifestyle for me. I believe that love dodges, avoids BS. Love is the one authentic human value that'll keep you on a straight and narrow. Love is the one thing that'll sustain relationships without having to BS people. Everybody wants happiness. That's true. But some people are busy creating happiness and other people are busy chasing happiness. If you want to be happy, if you want to have happy relationships, then make love the highest value of your pursuits. If you make happiness your pursuit, well, then you're going to BS people trying to convince them to laugh with you when they're not in the mood to laugh. So we're going to talk about some of that today, about how love is that creative, beautiful, authentic value that's going to keep you on track with human relationships. So as I say here, I'm a pastor of nearly 50 years. I've had a few moments in a counseling session with a few people, as you might well imagine. I didn't always enjoy counseling. Let me give you a little personal side of me. I didn't always enjoy counseling. It's a little more laborious, a little more of a chore day in and day out, because counseling really does demand a spontaneous, instant combustion from you. You can't just be a wing nut and give any kind of valuable counseling. You've got to have something to give, and when you give, that's labor. That's heavy lifting. And so, as you might imagine, as a pastor, there were quite a few people who would either formally or informally seek out my counsel. Now, here's what I mean by that. You know, when people find out you're a pastor and you're just sitting down to have a cup of coffee, and maybe you've got a whole other issue. Maybe it's a real estate agent. Maybe it's a business issue. Maybe you're just getting your taxes done. But when people find out you're a pastor, they want to know. They got some stuff they want to ask you. Just the other day, somebody just off the cuff, it was a completely business related conversation, and this person said, "So you're a pastor?" And then my alarms go off, like, "Oh boy, here we go." And then this person said, "So tell me, how did God create Adam and Eve in one spot, and then there are people all over the planet somehow or another instant?" And he wanted some kind of answer that would satisfy his curiosity. That's what I'm talking about. So there's some kind of counseling levels like that, but there are also a lot of life and death issues as well. All that to be said, I've spent many, many, many hours of my ministry life in counseling. Not always an enjoyable task, but my point I want to get to is that it has been a valuable task, especially later in life when I finally learned that the one way to counsel people in a valuable way is to love them right where they were. Not to try to be the Bible answer man or to be the great spiritual guru who knows everything about anything. That's exhausting. And that's where I found myself exhausted with a lot of counseling. I've discovered that love is the counselor. When I love people where they are, when I take one person at a time without clumping them into large groups, saying, "Well, all of you people are like this," and then trying to impose my values on them, as opposed to just loving that one person in front of me for who they are, what their challenge is in life. And I can tell you honestly that when I chose love as my greatest goal in counseling, my counseling efforts got very light in their load bearing, lighter, I should say. And when I chose love as the value, then I took myself off the hook as to being the guy that had to have all the answers. So I'm inviting you, All of that to be said, I'm inviting you into my counseling session here. I'm a pastor of 50 years. I've got a few things I'd like to share. I want you to be on the receiving end of that value. I'm not going to try to BS you. I'm simply going to love you where you're at. And I'm going to tell you things that will apply to a myriad of circumstances. And at some level, I'm convinced love applies to anything, everywhere, all the time. What's the answer? Love. What's the answer to a problem on the job? Well, love will help you find the way. So here we go. Today, I want to give you some tips, some handles on managing through the complexities of not only relationships, but just, you know, day-to-day living. The greatest relationship you have in life isn't with God. It's not with other people. The greatest and most demanding relationship all of us have is with ourself. You can go run away to the highest mountain on the planet, or you can get in a sailboat and sail out in the middle of the ocean blue, and there's going to be one person there, you. And you're going to have to relate to you well. You're going to have to find a way to know you, to love you in that loneliness of it. A few weeks ago, we talked about the beautiful loneliness of love, and there is a beauty to it. So just walk with me for a few minutes here. Let me talk you through that the capacity of loving all alone, loving by yourself, wherever you are, there you are. And if you're cognizant of your internal dialogue, if you're cognizant of how you're defining the world's events around you, if you're cognizant and you want to understand the big wide world a little better, then love yourself. As you would know that God is loving you, love yourself that way. Give yourself a ton of love. So in this counseling session, let me talk to you about love as it relates to forgiveness. First of all, in relationship to forgiveness, if you are loving, you will be led to forgiveness. I don't think forgiveness will necessarily lead you to love, though they can be connected to each other. They're somewhat siblings, but I would take love as more having a parental role. If you love, you will forgive. You'll walk toward forgiveness if you're loving. And in forgiveness, I think too many of us are taking our cues from storylines that we either hear on television or movies, read in books, that, you know, somebody will say in a storyline, "Oh, I could just never forgive." And, you know, nobody challenges that in the storyline because, of course, that develops a greater storyline. But in real life, forgiveness has to be a far more love-driven purpose than that. Here's what I mean. If I love, I will forgive. And if I forgive, it doesn't mean that I am somehow or another setting myself up to be wounded again by the perpetrator that has to have my forgiveness. I'm not setting myself up to find a way to get into the living space of somebody who harmed me so that they can harm me some more. If I'm loving, then I'm forgiving. Why? Because I want to live my life as free from negativity as I know how. And if I can forgive you by choice, then I'm eliminating that layer of negativity and I'm living in love, even though I may not be living in a tight relationship with the perpetrator. I'm convinced that by love, I choose to forgive. I choose to forgive because I don't have time to waste on those kind of negative emotions. I don't have time to waste looking in my rearview mirror. I'd rather be looking through the windshield toward where I'm going. When I forgive, I'm releasing somebody from my need to get vengeance. And that in itself is a definition of love. I don't need vengeance. I don't need to get a pound of flesh from you for what you've done for me. Your own perpetration of a bad act is going to be its own worst punishment for you. They say karma, you know, she's not kind. I'm going to keep it that way here. Karma is not kind. Karma will come back and bite you. And karma will bite hard. If you've behaved badly, then you're going to find that you've planted the seeds of bad behavior, and those seeds will come back and bite you. Having said that, though, if you behave badly toward me, I guarantee you of two things. I still love you, and I forgive you. Those two things are going to come from me. I still love you, and I will forgive you. I will not forgive you so that you can now perpetrate some kind of evil deed on me again, but I'll forgive you so that my brain is free of that weight, and I'm going to love you so that I'm giving you a chance to change your behavior, change your actions towards something better, which I believe everybody is capable of. I don't think anybody on this planet ever has been stuck in one kind of negative perpetrator mode. I think we're all capable of change. And the only way for change to be allowed in anybody's life is just keep loving them. Love them where they are. Don't love them the way you want them to be. Just love them where they are, recognizing that if somebody's behaving badly, something bad's going on inside their life, because bad things create bad people. Bad things going on in people, bad things happening to people create bad behaviors. And my choice in that is simply to love and to forgive and keep walking. I know that forgiveness for many people is a huge issue. Boy, if I could put a time meter on how many counseling hours I've spent with people talking about forgiveness, it would be, I don't know if it would be the dominant idea that's come to my counseling office, but I can tell you it has been woven into an awful lot of those conversations. Forgiveness, it's a choice. I'm letting it go. I'm not giving my red stamp of approval to what you did. I'm simply remembering the deed without a need for vengeance. That's from a dear mentor friend of mine, Bishop Kirby Clement, said, forgiveness is memory without the need for vengeance. I've released the idea that vengeance is in my reach or even within my scope of reference for the need for vengeance. I don't need to see a pound of flesh. I don't need to see you punished. I simply need to live in love that will lead me to forgiveness. Another thing that love will do for us in our relationships and in our ability to live a happy mental health is authenticity. Simply to love means I don't have to choose how to be me on any given day, depending on who I'm relating to. If I'm in a purpose to love, again, if I'm alive to love and know that all lesser values are potential BS. Now you see what's happening there? I'm either choosing to live in a cycle of BS. I'm choosing to live in a cycle of lies, great or small, which is what BS is, or I'm alive to love. And if I'm alive to love, that leaves me one choice. I'm going to be my authentic self. I'm going to be who I am, where I am, with whomever I'm with. I'm simply going to be the one me I was created to be. I don't have time to waste on trying to figure out who am I going to be today. I don't go through my list of potential encounters of any given day and say, well, I'm going to see Bob and Mary and Frank and Sue, so I guess I better be this person. No, I don't have time or energy for that. That makes me tired just thinking about it. But my one energy is whoever it is, Tom or Sue or Mary or Farquhar or whoever it is I'm going to encounter them with love. When they encounter me, they're going to encounter love. I'm going to love them exactly for who they are, not what I want them to be. And I'm going to be myself. I'm going to love myself for who I am. I almost said, for who I are. Maybe I should. It's more memorable. I'm going to love myself for who I are, and I'm not going to love myself for what I wish I could be. I'm going to love on the level that God loves, which in the common vernacular is unconditional, meaning there's no strings attached. God simply loves for who I am, where I am, and what I'm doing, and what I'm allowing myself to be involved with. God loves me right there. So forgiveness is a first step toward authenticity, and then authenticity is the result of forgiveness out of love. Then if I'm authentic, I don't have to keep remembering who I was for who. I'm just me, and now by the grace of God, I shall become me. Soren Kierkegaard said that. Now by the grace of God, I shall become myself. I love that. That just resonates with me on multiple levels. I'm often finding myself needing to remember, just be yourself. Just be who you are. I don't know if I can even say this adequately on a recorded broadcast here, but I'm going to attempt to. You know, it's a lonely task to speak to hundreds of people, maybe thousands, and all you're looking at is a microphone or a computer screen. It's a little bit of a lonely task. I have to imagine there's a huge audience out there. I have to imagine that there's the energy of scores of people that are either smiling and nodding their head yes, or they're frowning and shaking their head no, which, by the way, has happened to me in my preaching experience. But I feed off of seeing the faces of people that I'm mentoring, that I'm teaching, I'm counseling, that I'm loving. And I just remember, I have to remember in this lonely task that I don't have to be inauthentic to get your attention. That's the point of bringing this up. It's a little daunting. I when I listen back to my recordings, I can hear my fraudulent self jumping in there, and it just in the tone of my voice. I do. I suppose in professional voiceover schooling and education, they probably teach people like me how to just be your authentic self. I don't know how that would look, but I guess I should maybe take up a class or two on that now that I'm only 68. My point is, being your authentic self will affect everything about you. And in order to be your authentic self, you start with love. You start with love for people no matter who they are. You're going to love them right where they are for who they are and not try to imagine them as somebody else or something else. Just imagining that you by yourself, you're just the embodiment of love, and it'll lead you in authenticity. Authenticity is I think it's one of the great keys of productivity, because you're not wasting energy on choosing your emotions. You're choosing just simply to love in that very moment, which is the next layer of this. So we start with love leads to forgiveness. Love builds authenticity. Then out of authenticity, there comes an honesty, a beautiful and healthy honesty about the world around you, the world within you, and the world that other people are living. Here's an example of that. When I see somebody who is stressed out and they tell me, let's say on Monday they say, "Oh, I'm just so stressed out. Everything's coming at me at once. I'm just faced with so many challenges." Now, if I listen to that in love, then that tells me they're telling me their truth. This is true for them. I don't have to try to explain it away for them. I just have to listen to them in that moment on Monday and say, "Okay, all right. Well, I get it. I've been stressed out too." Then if I see them on Tuesday and it's the same story, well, now I'm at a different level. And my honesty may say, how are things changing for you? Anything giving way on some level, or is it just getting more and more stressed? And just, you know, it's an honest question. It's not prying, and it's not trying to give them uninvited advice. It's just out of my love, I want to know, how can I love you better? And then on Wednesday they come and it's the same story. Then on Thursday it's the same story. Friday it's the same story. Now fast forward a month ahead and it's the same story. They're still stressed out. Well, now honesty. Now listen to me carefully. Honesty doesn't mean I'm going to just blast them with my best two cents of what I think. I've told people before, you know, before you give somebody two cents of your mind, maybe you better hang on to at least one penny, because you may be broke after you give away two cents. That may be all you got left. Don't give away your two cents just because you have the chance. Just love people right there. And loving somebody, in this case, who is stressed out on the first Monday of May, and they're still stressed out on the first Monday of June and first Monday of July, yeah, you get where I'm going. They're just stressed out. This is a choice they've made in life. Love will teach you that I have to live with that person as they are part of any circle of my life. I have to live with that person with an understanding of who they've chosen to be, not who I want them to be, not how I want to change them, but how I can love them right there, smile, give them a hug, give them a, well, you know, in without the safe distancing rules in place, I'll give them a hug, but maybe I give them a distance hug or give them a thumbs up, something that just tells them, I'm still loving you. I'm still loving you, though you've made a choice to be where you are. I'm still loving you. Now, if on some level this person comes and says, "Can you help me? You know, I just live in this constant world of stress." Now, please hear me. This is just an example. And I'm trying to figure out why I am always in some deep swimming pool of stress. Why? Can you help me? Now, there's a green light. Now, be careful with that green light. If you remember, some of you may remember this in your high school days. I'll say it for me. In my high school days, on that green light, I might have stomped that accelerator just to hear those tires squeal. Whoa, look at me go. I've got a fast car. I've got a noisy car. Hey, everybody, look at me. Well, I discovered there's a price to pay for having a fast car or squealing those tires. I'm going to have new tires a lot more than I ought to, and I'm going to tear that car up a lot sooner than it ought to be torn up. Same is true. When somebody gives you that green light, don't step on the accelerator hard as you can. Just lightly give the car a little gas to move forward on the green light. The green light of the invitation for advice is not the invitation for you to blow all the channels out and tell them, well, you know, I've been waiting for you to ask me that. You've been stressed out since last May, and here it is September, and I got to tell you, and then on you go. And it's not just 2 cents you're giving them now. You have written a couple of hot checks on your emotional and intellectual bank account, and I guarantee you, if you give on that level, you're going to bounce that check. Let's take love first. So love, what will love do for this person who gives you the green light for advice? That person who wants to know, why am I always stressed out, as an example? Then love will say, let's ask some productive, fruitful questions. I have found that the greatest advice you'll ever give people is to ask healthy, productive questions. Healthy, not selfish, not pointed to cause them any pain, but just to inquiring minds want to know. Ask some questions. Ask some vital questions about their priorities, their life, their background, their childhood. Just get to know this person on a level that's better than just, as I said, stepping on the accelerator and screaming out from the intersection. And then finally, you know, you may have given them a whole lot of advice, but they checked out almost instantly when you started driving recklessly. Let's be people of love. And having honesty and trusted relationships doesn't mean that I'm going to give them everything they need to hear in any given setting. I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to let my own mind settle itself around whatever it is they're asking for, and really maybe what they're not even asking for. That as I ask questions, maybe I can get them toward other answers and other levels of life that they never even dreamed that we would be discussing. I'm going to give you an example before I finish today's broadcast. This happened to me many years ago. A man brought to me his wife. I'm their pastor, and he's concerned about his wife. And he brought his wife to me. Now, mind you, this man, this guy was a mountain man. He was huge, muscular. He was about twice my size and about 10 times my strength. And he had been in the military and actually in the special forces. He's concerned about his wife and brought her to me for some help because they had been having some troubles. Well, I could see by her body language and her face that she wasn't a happy participant in this, but she was there because he insisted. So I started asking questions, and then I started asking him some questions. Long story short, because this took about a month worth of counseling sessions, it came to my knowledge that this man, as a 12-year-old boy, had been part of an industrial accident that caused his own father's death. And he was in the middle of creating a circumstance that caused that accident. I can't go into the details, but that's the large summary of it. The accident happened with this 12-year-old child present, having done something that caused it, and his father was the fatal victim of that choice. Well, here's this young boy. Now he's in a 40-year-old body, a 40-year-old muscular military body, and this guy's hurting. It's not his wife that's all messed up. It's the inside of this man that's messed up. And by love, we got to the honest answers and the patience that I just chose to walk in with him. We got to his answers. And I'm telling you, love wins every time. And it won in that time. Maybe I'll pick this up next time when we discuss my experience with him. It became a beautiful, wonderful experience as I saw this man get healthier by the day. We're coming up on the end of this broadcast, and I've just been talking to you as a counselor, as a pastor, giving you ideas about forgiveness, authenticity, and honesty in trusted relationships. That all of that is just flowering up out of love. Being in love means you can find a way in everything you're doing every day. So in our broadcast at the conclusion of every time together in Alive to Love, I ask you to take deep breaths. Go ahead and draw a big deep breath to the bottom of your lungs. On the count of three. One, two, three. Breathe in. Hold it. And breathe out. Learn to do that every day. Give yourself space, a little bit of a recreational moment, and every day find a solitude of some place where you can breathe deep for about 3 to 5 minutes, and it'll calm you, it'll lower your blood pressure, it'll clear your mind. It's a great sabbatical in the middle of any day. And the second exercise we close with is, as I've said many, many times, come on, let's make it weird, shall we? Let's just look somebody straight in the eye with a smile on our face, even if you've got a face mask on. That smile will show up in your eyes. And say the three most charmed words in human existence. I love you. It just feels right rolling out of my mouth. Even though I'm looking at a computer screen right now, I know whoever's listening to me right now, if you took it to heart, it helped to lighten your load a little bit. Make it weird. Yeah, I know it's awkward, and I know people don't like eye contact. They'll dodge connection that way. I get it. I really do. But by overcoming that, we are exercising a real practical, down-to-earth, alive-to-love, no BS practice when I say, I love you. I'm so grateful that you chose to be here today. I really am. I don't take that for granted. I hope someday we can have some sort of an in-person event from Alive to Love, the No BS Bishop, where I can see your beautiful eyes and I can give all you the benefit of that moment of looking you in the eye and saying, I love you. But until then, I'm going to say this one more time. Let's go out there and do something beautiful in our world. Because, oh, baby, ugly has been done to death. It is time for the people of love to arise and shine and do something beautiful in this world. God bless you. Let's stay alive to love.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m., and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.